The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn. We've got a great show for you today. In continuation of what's going on in the Northeast, now with snow on top of everything else and all the things that happened there, we will have on, we've tried to do it, and we got it this time, Rabbi Levi Gorkov of Ocean City, I believe it is the name of his town, on Long Island. As he described to me, he's gone now from step one to step two of the disaster. This week is the portion of Toldos. We're continuing with some of that really good Bible stuff story. We've got some eclectic variety of Jewish music. We got a really cool song that I found deep within the bowels of the beast of the Jewish Hour music archives. A Hasidic story, but before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. An IDF jeep was hit by Syrian gunfire on the Golan Heights. IDF soldiers were patrolling near the northern border when they came under gunfire from the Syrian side of the border. There were no casualties, and the incident is under investigation. One policeman was stabbed and seven others injured by stones during a riot in East Jerusalem. Two teens were arrested in connection with the assaults. A Jewish man in his 30s was stabbed in East Jerusalem. East Jerusalem doesn't seem like to be the best neighborhood. Friday evening, on his way home from synagogue, the man was rushed to Hadassah Ein Karen Hospital in Jerusalem. According to reports, two teenage Palestinians were responsible for the stabbing. I wonder if it's the same two. There have not yet been any arrests. Israel will be receiving its fifth Iron Dome anti-missile system from the United States. The newest model will have improved capabilities of intercepting a rocket fired from Iran. Three Syrian tanks entered a demilitarized area between Syria and Israeli territory on the Golan Heights border yesterday. Israel lodged a formal complaint with the UN. A lot of good that will help. While the tanks' movement was not intended against Israel, it still constitutes a breach of the 1974 armistice agreement between Jerusalem and Damascus. This falls into the totally irrelevant category. Four retired Israeli military commanders are being tried in absentia in Turkey over the storming of a Turkish boat in 2010. Nine Turkish activists died when Israeli commandos boarded the Maravi Marmara as the flotilla tried to break Israel's naval blockade in Gaza. The storming of the ship led to a major rift in relations between Turkey and Israel. If convicted, the four face jail terms in Turkey of 18,000 years apiece. Totally irrelevant. This one not. The father of a French Jewish family was badly beaten in their home, completely trashed by local youth in Marseille. Marseille is home to 80,000 Jews, 10% of the general population. It has been relatively quiet for France's second largest city this year compared to other areas in the country where violent anti-Semitism has been on the rise. Turkey, speaking of Turkey, is returning three tactical drones to Israel due to poor performance. The unmanned aerial vehicles were purchased by Turkey for $30 million in 2007. No details were provided for their poor performance. Russian police arrested 25 men wearing black field overcoats with Nazi swastikas in Moscow Sunday. That would have been Sunday afternoon, which is like a couple hours ago. The arrests coincide with Unity Day, a national holiday established by the Kremlin in 2005 to replace commemoration of the Bolshevik Revolution. An El Al flight from Israel to New York made an emergency landing in Ireland after smoke was detected in the airplane's passenger compartment. People were scared. The aircraft landed safely and no one was injured. And finally, you may remember the Turkish vulture, which was accused of, no, excuse me, it was the vulture in Saudi Arabia that was accused of spying for Israel. Well, a 2-meter-long crocodile that most likely escaped from a zoo has been plaguing northern Gaza's sewers for 2 years. The croc recently came out of the sewer and ate two goats. The reptile has been able to escape Hamas's efforts to capture it. No one has yet blamed that Israel is the source of the crocodile. And that's the news. You know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile.
Milk and Honey and Epic Kosher Catering are the only kosher caterers in Southeast Michigan to offer both dairy and glatt kosher menus. Now offering wedding packages starting at just $40 a person. Think of Milk and Honey and Epic Kosher Catering for your next bar or bat mitzvah. Milk and Honey and Epic Kosher Catering will take care of all of your tray catering and shiva trays as well. Impressive food and exceptional service will keep you coming back again and again. Milk and Honey and Epic Kosher Catering will cater your event at your favorite location, and on-premise catering is available at Adat Shalom and the JCC. Call today, 248-661-2327. That's 661-2327. And make your affair an affair to remember.
Hey, Herschel Fidman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have on live Rabbi Levi Gurkov, who is a Chabad rabbi serving Greater Long Island. How are you today doing? How are you doing today? Let's talk about that, Levi.
Thank God. Under the circumstances.
Understood. Let's go back a week and tell us what was happening on that fateful day a week ago, Monday, when Hurricane Sandy, which is probably, I suppose, short for Alexander, but we're not going to go there, hit the coast of Long Island.
When it hit, it was somewhat expected that it's going to be bad, but no one envisioned that that being on the bay would be as bad as it was, and it's a complete devastation in the Oceanside area where I am, where we live. We're off the Atlantic. I mean, we're on the bay, and every home that was on the water, with canals making in the backyards. We're talking, you know, complete gutting of the homes. Anyone that had an Oceanside, even if you're a half a mile away from any water, if you had if you had a basement, the basement flooded all the way to the top, 8-9 feet. And if your car was on the street was all rivers, all the cars shorted out. A lot of the older cars, when they shorted out, went on fire for some reason. So a lot of people, besides being flooded, there was no way for them to get out the next morning when the water receded somewhat. The cars were, there were no means of transportation for themselves, so they were kind of stranded. That's what happened that very day. There was no emergency services available. The trees were toppled, the roads were impassable. The cell phones went out, and there was absolutely no communication, no means of communication. So this was something that the only word I can use was devastation.
And indeed, we tried getting in touch with you last week, and were almost successful as the cell communications were not working. And you told me that you were in the middle of helping with the with cleanup and emergency services. What did you, as a rabbi, Levi Gurkov, do in helping the devastated area then?
Well, during the storm, the cell phones were working till about spotty, till about 3 in the morning. And I got a phone call from the hospital, the local hospital, at about 2, that they were requesting a rabbi emergency. In the emergency room, there was a number of people that had acute heart distress and things of that nature. They needed a rabbi. I walked over. That was in the middle of the storm. It's about a half a mile away. We ministered whatever the rabbis have to usually minister under those circumstances. The day of the storm, when it receded, we had a soup kitchen open. We got a generator going at our Chabad center. And we had a hot soup where we just went around to people when they were just standing outside their homes and just giving out hot soup for everybody just to have somewhat of comfort. And then we saw the devastation completely. And by the next day, we mobilized from all over, from as far as Connecticut, whoever can come in. Hundreds of volunteers came in to help with just cleanup. And the first cleanup was, the initial phase of cleanup was just taking things out of the garbage, the couches, the things that were waterlogged and smelly, just to get out, get them out of the way, and help pump the water, get a hold of pumps, so people can just have get their first floor cleaned out, have them come over to the Chabad Center, where we only had wind damage but not flood damage, thank God. So people were able to just congregate there and have a means of transportation for these people to come over, because they were just to do. We got a hold of a van, and then the gas shortage started. That was a whole different story.
Which is where you're up to now. So the Chabad Center lost power, but you were able to hook up an emergency generator. What about powering that emergency generator, Rabbi Gurkov?
Well, what you just said in one sentence took us numerous hours to do, with a lot of resources from a lot of different Chabad centers from the neighboring states to come in and help and get those generators going. And we did have some damage relative to the others. They have a JCC a block away. They had complete flood damage, but we had wind damage. Some of our roof was exposed, but at least we didn't have the soggy carpets to the degree that you wouldn't be able to walk in the main areas. So when we got that going, just some makeshift lights, so people just can come in and be indoors. And then a lot of the supplies started pouring in from Virginia, from the Jewish communities, I can't even tell you from how many different states. U-Hauls were coming in with food, and then people started just needing cleaning supplies, garbage bags, and all the things that are needed just to continue with the cleanup.
I'm assuming that the supermarkets didn't open up so fast.
Well, the supermarkets, there was no way for them to open up. It was because they were flooded themselves. They managed to get one pharmacy up and running to dispense emergency, medication. Till today, there are no supermarkets open in the vicinity. They're doing their own cleanup, and that's what they're doing.
This is a total, the way you're describing it, I'm just totally shocked. So let's jump up a couple of days. What'd you do? The big day for a Chabad house is Shabbos. What did you manage to put together for Shabbos, Levi Gurkov?
Shabbos. There is most of the people.
Oops, I'm losing you.
After a couple of days, until around when there was still no power and there was a shortage of gas, everybody just found shelters. We found them. Homes in Brooklyn that wasn't affected, and I would say tremendous amount of people just left, because overnight they didn't want to be in their homes, and the National Guard was protecting as much as they could. There was in my neighborhood, the outside neighborhoods were living there, but Shabbos we didn't have any power, and not very many people were in the frame of mind to leave their the comfort of being in front of the house. They still thought that they'll be able to, preserve the house or protect it. But now literally people don't, they've lost that hope of even thinking of, come and loot. The people are much in despair, very, very much in despair.
So you, I assume, now have a very serious position as providing on-the-spot comfort and assurances for the community then.
Absolutely.
So, how has the federal government been in your area? FEMA and these things, getting people in, and you mentioned the National Guard. What's the government doing in this to help with the situation?
Well, if you're going to ask me, I don't think it's right for me to be as frank as I'm going to be, but from all levels of government, absolute failure. What you hear in the news or what you saw when they were running for, the elections or anything like that, it was all photo ops. You don't see any government official from the federal all the way down to the county levels, but to town level, zero. It's absolute. It's disheartening, because people need to know when the services are going to be restored. We're simply talking about just knowing how long is going to be out of that. Just simple answers. You don't see anything. The Red Cross. nowhere. Just yesterday was the first day in the community. Now with Havana too, giving out some food. They were busy in other neighborhoods, but the response. See, the natural disaster is a natural disaster. So we prepared for it. We didn't prepare for it. We didn't expect it. Whatever. That's one thing. But the response at this level is extremely disheartening.
Okay, understood. So let's say, it doesn't sound like, let's say, for example, the power was restored right now. How much of the situation would that alleviate?
I would say about 50% of it. Because if the power is going to be restored, we are going to have, people will be able to possibly have heat if their boilers and their wasn't overflowed, wasn't flooded, and shorted out. A simple demonstration of how the insanity is. LIPA, which is Long Island Power Authority, says yes, we will see if we can turn on your light if you have a master electrician fill out a form that does no water damage to any of your outlets and sockets, and then you fax in his signed report. Or you can email it. Now, when you don't have electricity, how do you do that?
How are you going to check to see if your power, if your sockets work? Yes.
Yes, but the master electrician, they won't turn you on. They won't turn on the grid of your neighborhood unless everyone in that neighborhood is signed off that they don't want to cause any fire if it goes on. So everybody has to have a master electrician sign off of that their home is ready for power. And how are they going to know if that master electrician signed off on it? You're supposed to email it to them, fax it to them, and there is no means of doing that if you don't have power. And they're not standing on the corner waiting for that hard copy. So you're talking about and then you tell them how am I supposed to get that piece of paper to you? Well, they'll tell you, that's the policy. It's insane. The response and the way they're responding is just doesn't make sense. So people are getting more frustrated at the response and the way the response is happening. If you would call LIPA and wait an hour or two on the phone, you'll get one response. And then if you would get disconnected and call back and get another customer service representative, they would tell you that all the information that you got something changed or new or they didn't hear of it. So it's kind of like a lot of misinformation, confusion, no direction from any of the officials. So that's what's getting people very, very agitated at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And not that your level of prophecy is of any great outstanding level, but do you think that your city will ever come back to where it was prior to Sandy?
Absolutely, absolutely. The people are resilient. They're confident and they're in what they see, that what neighbors can do for each other, what the non-for-profits such as myself and others in the community that have been, everything is here is grassroots. We really did not rely on any government, anything that's happening now to help transport people to a hospital. I have numerous people that are dialysis, all their transportation because the dialysis center is flooded. The closest one is 30 miles away or so. You have volunteers taking people, so the community comes together where it's very hard, it's heartwarming to see, and the people are confident that this community will jump, will come back in with a lot more vigor.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. I've received almost immediately a letter from the Central Organization of Lubavitch that they were making a relief fund. Has there been many of these faith-based organizations coming up with relief?
The one that you just mentioned absolutely was on the ground day one. We got the relief from them. Not just the money, it just translated into goods. You're giving someone $1,000 via email, I mean via PayPal, it doesn't help because they have no access to that PayPal.
Right.
But when they come with a U-Haul of mops, bleach, gloves, contractor bags, and that kind of assistance is more important than than a pledge of money, which pledge of money is going to have, you know, people need to just take down. I've been going around, people saying, listen, Rabbi, I don't have a car to go to the ATM. Even if I went to the ATM, I can't draw anything out because there's no electric. The guy wants $500 to cut the tree down. What can you do for me? And we're just going around, dispensing whatever we have to what we got from these funds to help these people in need.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So what's happening personally with your family, Mrs. Gurkov and the little Gurkov kids?
Well, what we did was made sure that we have a, see, I have a wonderful mother-in-law. You don't hear that too much, but I do have wonderful in-laws, and I brought them there. They have a safe shelter there, and they're being taken care of wonderfully. So I'm able to focus and help the community with the community needs and getting what they need. And so personally, my family is safe and sound, and we're just giving comfort and shelter to all those that need it.
Just between you and me and the several tens of thousands of people that are listening, when was the last time you had a hot shower?
Absolutely.
Okay. Fair enough. I got one more question for you. The annual International Lubavitcher Rabbi Conference is going on this weekend. What do you envision your participation in that? Is this totally usurped that?
Am I able to go to Kinnis? Well, that's a good question. You mentioned the Kinnis. We've had people that have contacted me and wanted to help. They're coming from all over the world, and they want to help with the cleanup. And they what can we do? They would like to, even though they're coming for this Shabbos of help for themselves, to come into Crown Heights, but they want to spend Shabbos here in Oceanside and just give chizuk, which is support, to our community. So being here at the moment is my priority to do what I was sent here to do.
Okay, that's terrific. I'm glad to hear. If people listening here in Detroit and on the web want to lend support to Chabad of Ocean City or elsewhere, how would they go about doing that? Do you have a web address that might be able to address these concerns, Rabbi Gurkov?
Yes, we have ChabadofOceanside.com. That's one word, Chabad of Oceanside, and there's an icon there that's Hurricane Relief. And it goes immediately to the community, non-denominational, and all the support that we can get will be greatly appreciated.
Okay, terrific. I'm looking to hear good news. I will report it on my news when we get some good news from you, Rabbi Gurkov.
Absolutely. I would be more than happy to report all the great news that's meant to be coming shortly, hopefully.
Okay, terrific. Take care.
God bless you. Thank you.
We want to take a quick commercial break right now. We're going to be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Do you find yourself at a point in life where you just can't seem to accomplish what you have set out to do? Have you accepted low energy, weight gain, and feeling overwhelmed as a part of your life? The ancient Ayurvedic method of well-being, combined with proven scientific methods of change, will make you feel energetic, focused, and fit. Hi, I'm Lisa Cohn, and I learned how to feel better close to 10 years ago. If you are ready to help yourself, you can count on me to be there for you in a simple approach to guide you to success. The holistic traditions of Ayurveda will show you how to prevent illness and strengthen your health with natural, simple lifestyle habits. You will feel empowered to manage not just your health, but also your life. Call me, Lisa Cohn, certified Ayurvedic health practitioner and health coach at 248-613-1804. 613-1804, and visit my website at lisacohnayurveda.com.
Some things are better the way they used to be, like the crisp feel of a cool autumn day, the serenity of a baby sleeping, or the feeling of coming home after a long trip. Franklin Cider Mills makes cider the way cider is supposed to be. Its old-fashioned, clear, crisp taste reminds you of a cool autumn day. Located in the heart of historic Franklin Village at 14 Mile and Franklin Road, Franklin Cider Mill has been making cider the same way for over a century. Always fresh, with no additives or preservatives. You just can't buy Franklin Cider in any supermarket. Franklin Cider Mill is open from Labor Day weekend to after Thanksgiving from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come visit Franklin Cider Mill. It's kind of like coming home.
Herschel Finman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. This is really impressive. This is like Judaism with dirt under your fingernails. That's really what it's all about. Hillel said the whole entire Torah is basically you got to help other people. That's really what it is. We got now moving along. We have some music for you. This is Ohad. The song is Verastikli Le'olam, which is said, many people do this as part of the wedding service. People do it as part of their morning prayer services, a connection between the statement that is taken in relationship of the love of the Almighty to the Jewish people. Let's listen to Ohad.
Galactic Healthcare offers patients the advantage of a safe and natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. People of all ages, including children, benefit from chiropractic's unique approach to health. Call area code 248-557-1818 today to find out how chiropractic can benefit your family. At the Solomon Chiropractic Center, we especially love children. All kids should have their spines checked periodically throughout their crucial growing years. Growth on a crooked foundation will create a crooked spine and become harder to correct later in life. Kids love to get adjusted at the Solomon Chiropractic Center. And hey, moms, did you know that chiropractic offers a safe, drug-free approach to helping with the many pains women often get during and after pregnancy? We even have special tables which open up so pregnant women can lay on their stomachs. We treat moms, dads, children, and grandparents with arthritic pains, neck pains, back pain, and headaches. People of all ages, including kids, benefit from chiropractic. Come experience the natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. Stop living in pain. Call area code 248-557-1818 today for a free consultation at the Solomon Chiropractic Center to discuss you and your family's health needs. Remember, 557-1818. That's 557-1818. Hi.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We got time for a public service announcement. Yad Ezra is taking part in the 5th Third Turkey Trot. This is the 30th annual 5th Third Turkey Trot Run, an event for families of all ages. They'll be having a 10-kilometer, 5-kilometer, and mashed potato mile, which is a mile long. Do you know what a mashed potato mile is, Ben? You ever heard that expression before? No, Ben shaking his head. No, I don't know what it is either. But you can register at theparade.org/turkeytrot, and then you sign up with specifically the Yad Ezra page, and you help raise money for Yad Ezra. For more information, contact Yad Ezra at 248-548-3663. Is your organization having a function which you feel worth publicizing here on The Jewish Hour? Well, send it to rabbifinman.com, the contact page, and we'll announce it for you. That's what we do. That's one of the things we love to do. Anyway, so what do we have up next? We have, let's go down. Oh, yes. This is, we are, there's an expression in the Talmud, 30 days before the holiday, you have to start talking about the holiday. So we are within 30 days of Hanukkah. So we have to play some Hanukkah music. So here's what's become in the last 10 years, not 10 years, it's 5 years, a Hanukkah classic. This is a Nefesh B'Nefesh flash mob in Jerusalem. It's called Hanukkah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. My dreidel just spins around and then falls to the ground as we light the candle.
Celebrate this year.
Oi, it's just yo backwards.
Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. As I said at the onset of the show, I went deep into the belly of the bowels of the beast, the Jewish Hour library, and found something that I didn't even know I had. This is a parody of a parody. There was a song done in 1966. By the Lovin' Spoonful called Do You Believe in Matt? No, it wasn't Do You Believe in Matt. It's called Nashville Cats was the name of the song. So Mickey Katz did a parody of it. And this group did a parody of the Mickey Katz parody. And it's called, their group, they call it Noshville Cats. Nosh in Yiddish means to have a snack. And they're calling themselves not the Lovin' Spoonfuls, they're calling themselves the Lovin' Cohens. And so let's listen to the Nashville Cats.
Nashville Cats, they run the kosher deli. Nashville Cats, the only place in town. Nashville Cats, it's not like you're in Brooklyn. Nashville Cats, the only one around. Well, there's 1,352 different restaurants in Nashville. And you can eat anything from a hominy grit to a contact time pill. But there's only one place to get a half sour pickle or a corned beef sandwich in Nashville. Just ask anybody how to get the cats as if you're looking to eat well. About a year ago, it wasn't possible to find a kosher delicatessen. And the people said, Mr. Katz, won't you open up a place to press in? Well, it was a good idea for a Brooklyn boy to bring a kosher deli to Nashville. And when his bubba asked him who would eat his food, he said the Tennessee Folksville. They call him Nashville Katz. He runs a kosher deli. Nashville Katz, the only one in town. Nashville Katz, it's not like you're in Brooklyn. Nashville Cats, the only place around. Have a Yiddish dish, a potato knish, or a bagel and cream cheese. A little chicken soup, or gefilte fish, with some carrots and green peas. If you can get through that, have a little chopped liver or a piece of herring and wine sauce. Then you can wash it down with a Dr. Brown. Shouldn't be a total loss, eat darling, eat. Nashville Cats, here on the kosher deli. Nashville Cats, the only place in town. Nashville Cats, it's not like you're in Brooklyn. Nashville Cats, the only one.
also cater bar mitzvahs.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
You know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile.
Hey, Lisa.
Yes, Amy?
I have a secret to tell you.
What is it, Amy?
I'm having an affair.
Really? Who's catering?
Why, Milk and Honey and Epic Kosher Catering, of course. They're a great value, and their sumptuous menus will just keep you coming back again and again. Milk and Honey and Epic Kosher Catering will handle all your party needs, from dairy or deli trays for 10 or to elaborate weddings for 1,000. Milk and Honey and Epic Kosher Catering will work within your budget. Call 248-661-2327. That's 661-2327, and make your affair a real Micaiah.
Harry Schulfenman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of Toldos. It can be found in the middle of chapter 25 of the book of Genesis and following. I'm going to zoom in on a couple of... You can't call a book, a verse from the Bible, obscure. But it's things that are not necessarily talked about. I'm going to talk about it today. The story involves the birth of Yitzchak's twins, Jacob and Esau. And they are, of course, the epitome of the embodiment of good and evil. There's a couple of verses that it says, this is chapter 26 at the end, verse 34. And the translation is my own. I'm looking at the Hebrew. And it was when Esav was 40 years old, and he took a wife whose name was Yehudas, the son of Be'eri, the Hittite, and Basmas, excuse me, the daughter of, not the son of. He was kind of strange when it came to those type of things, but not that strange. And Basmas, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite. And it was really bad, made really the lives of Yitzhak and Rivka really bitter. What's the deal over here? So Rashi, the classic biblical commentator, says that Esav was a pig. There are various animals that, first of all, let's back up half a second. A mammal, in order for it to be kosher, has to chew its cud and have split feet. A pig does not chew its cud, but it has split hooves. So what does the chazer do? What does the pig do when it's reclining? It puts its nose down, like tucks itself underneath it to sort of hide the fact that it's not chewing its cud, but stretches out its feet. So to say, look, I've got split hooves. I must therefore be kosher. So Esav, through the course of his father's lifetime, did everything he possibly could as an indication that he was kosher. He maintained, well, my father got married when he was 40 years old, so I'm going to get married when I'm 40 years old as well, which would normally be a wonderful thing were it not for the fact that he kind of went against a family tradition, like in last week's portion, Abraham made his slave swear that under no circumstance was Isaac to marry any descendant of the Canaanite nation. And here, Esav married two descendants of the Canaanite nations. The Hittites were part of the Canaanite nation. There were seven tribes of the Canaanite nation. In the analogy, what happens is the question is asked, how is it that anybody's possible to do something bad? If you ask anybody, will you do something bad today? They say, of course not. This is like normal. What happens is that the bad presents itself in such a way so it appears to be at least the least path of resistance, or even goes so far as to convey itself as something good. This Esav and Jacob that we're talking about, they're not out there, but this is actually within us, our own persona. We have this battle going on because you have truly good, which is personified by Jacob, as being your desire for only good. And then you have Esav. That Esav just can't come and say, hey, Jake, let's go do something bad. Jacob's never going to go for it. Your desire for good is never going to go along with that. I'll go do something bad. No. But it has to put in the verbiage that this is really a good thing. For a great period of my time here in Detroit, I spent as a volunteer chaplain serving Jewish inmates incarcerated in Michigan prisons. And I will go so far to say of the 53,000 people incarcerated in Michigan prisons, if you were to ask them if they did anything wrong, more than 99% would say, I did not do anything wrong. And they would be able to explain what it is, the circumstances that happens to be just a byproduct of whatever it was, why they happened to be in prison. The lamest things I've ever heard was, the only thing I did wrong was get caught, which meant, okay, you know, it's sort of like you did wrong. Other people have justifications for it. I actually heard someone say, that person, they deserved to get murdered. This is when you start getting a little nervous when you're in a room with these people. Just, I don't know what you want to think about me, but I'm glad that that guard over there is standing there. Yes. So I don't care what a person's justification is. They can never justify murdering somebody. Similarly, also, such a justification, you have, for example, a person has an affair. Why is it that anybody has an affair? An extramarital affair. I tell people I'm having a love affair now for 30 years with a woman. I just happen to be married to her. But that's okay. So an extramarital affair. Why would anybody engage in a marital affair? Bottom line, they feel they got it coming to them. They deserve it. My wife or my husband is a such and such. They're not fulfilling my needs. This person is better looking. This is a something. It's not such a terrible thing. I'm not hurting anybody. As my grandmother would say, a nechtige tug, which really loses it in the translation. You kind of get the gist. I'm looking at Ben. Could you kind of get the gist? If my grandmother were to say to you, giving all of these what reasons why you should have an affair that you're not having, and she'd look at you and say, a nechtige tug, you get the gist. The translation is, it means a yesterday's night. Yeah, but so it loses totally in the translation, but you get the idea. So anybody who come up with a reason, that's Esav sticking his feet out and saying, look, I'm kosher, and burying his face. That's not chewing his cud. We got to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for The Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Are you looking for a dentist that can meet all your family's needs? Dr. Gary Cohen is a dentist that's been serving the community for 20 years. Bleaching, veneers, crowns, dentures, bridges, checkups, extractions, everything. He does it all. Dr. Cohen will see emergencies immediately and same-day appointments always available. Dr. Cohen wants dental care to be affordable. He has interest-free payment plans and takes most dental insurances, including Medicaid, for children. Dr. Gary Cohen provides the highest quality care with the gentlest touch in a relaxing setting. How do I know? Gary Cohen's my dentist. Call Gary Cohen today for a free consultation and smile that shines at 734-422-5480. That's 734-422-5480.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. I'd like to get in touch with me. Easiest way is go to rabbifinman.com. Click on, right on the homepage, we've got a link that sends your email to my email. And we talk and we become good buddies. What else will you find? You'll find archived editions of the show, archived editions of the U Parsha, the Hasidic U story, and E Parsha, which are video and written missives of my composition, which have been put on YouTube and sent via email. The E Parsha now goes out to over 14,000 recipients, and you could be the next one to get it in your email. Usually send it out on Wednesday. Very insightful stuff. And of course, the all important donations page. And I emphasize the word donations. It's the middle of November. And as of right now, I haven't got a clue how I'm going to pay for this radio show. The stuff is coming in little drips and drabs. I appreciate those $25 donations. Yes, don't get me wrong, but we do need a lot of them. And so if you can, go right now to rabbifinman.com, hit the donations page, do it as early and often, as we say. This week, last week was election day. So just like when you vote, you do it early and often. Go to Rabbi Finman. Hit the donation page early and often, and God willing, God will shower blessings upon you and your family, and you'll live happily ever after, because you'll be able to listen to the Jewish Hour in perpetuity. We've been on for 17 years. Let's keep it going. We're on a streak. Quick story, because we got a couple of minutes here. When the Mezitcher Magid, the eventual successor to the Baal Shem Tov, first met the Baal Shem Tov asked him, "Do you know how to learn Zohar, which is some esoteric concepts in Judaism?" He said, "Yeah." So he took out this book of Zohar and explained there the story at the beginning of Isaiah, which involves the throne of glory. And he said, "Could you explain it?" So it talks about over there you have the throne of glory, and you have the angel Michael on the right side, which is 186,000 camps of angels, and on the left side is made out of water, and 153,000 camps of angels of Gabriel are on the left side, and he's made out of fire. So the Baal Shem Tov stopped the Mezitcher Magid and said, "Could you maybe explain it?" So he went into the whole thing about water and kindness and fire and severity and fire going up and water going down. He said, "No, could you explain it one more time? Put something into it." So he said, he started going into it, explaining it. The guy is just like sweating bullets. Baal Shem Tov stopped him and took the book and said, "Wait a minute, put his glasses on and began reading. You have the throne of glory in the middle. Behind the Baal Shem Tov, Mezitcher Magid saw the throne of glory. And on the right side is the angel Michael, made out of water and expression of kindness, 183,000 troops of angels. The right side of the room was flooded. On the left side is the angel Gabriel, and he's made out of fire, 153,000 troops of angels. The left side burst into flame. Scenarios going on, the rabbi's just reading. He closed the book, the whole thing disappeared. He said, "Now do you know how to learn?" That's going to do it for the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope to see you back again next week, and have a great week. Take care. Bye.